Dan's own luggage consisted of one suitcase containing his dress suit, the few decent shirts and ties he possessed, flannels and a blazer, underwear, pyjamas, shaving kit and toothbrush. It was all he could afford, and it would have to do. Dan himself had come down from Cambridge 2 years ago with a degree in modern languages, and unwilling to follow his father into the diplomatic service, had taken a job as a reporter on the London Graphic. Despite his innate laziness, he'd been surprised to discover that he was, even with the minimum of effort, quite a good journalist. Now, a year later, he'd graduated to being the Graphic's arts correspondent. It wasn't a job that brought him a great deal of money. Dan contemplated the cows as they ripped up soft mouthfuls of cud, and wondered how much he would have to tip the Woodbourne House servants. That kind of thing could bleed a man dry, not a consideration which would worry Paul Latimer, but then nothing much worried Paul, favourite of the gods. The train gave a creak and chugged slowly into life. Dan rummaged in his pocket for his cigarettes. As he pulled them out, the stout matron sitting opposite raised her eyes from her knitting and gave him a reproving glance. He returned them to his pocket and glanced at his wristwatch. Only 10 more minutes till they reached Malton, where, his godmother had informed him, her niece Margaret would meet him. As the train slid into a tunnel, Dan contemplated his reflection in the carriage window. Aware of his own good looks since the age of 12, he'd yet to become bored by them. The face that looked back at him was handsome, the features nicely chiselled, the mouth sensitive and not too full, eyes blue and soulful. If the old bird hadn't been present, he might have practised his charming crooked grin, but he made do instead with passing his fingers through the waves of his thick blonde hair and giving his reflection a final admiring glance before the train slid back into sunlight. He hoped there would be a few decent girls at the house party. Dan was the only passenger to alight at Malton. He saw a little two-seater Austin parked next to the fence by the road, a girl in a short-sleeved blouse and linen trousers leaning against its bonnet. She waved when she saw Dan, and he carried his case over to the car. So, this was Meg. Neither Paul nor Diana had mentioned quite how attractive she was. She had long curling chestnut hair and dark eyes, flecked with green, delicately arched brows and lightly tanned skin, and a very pretty figure. His hopes had been fulfilled, at least one looker on the premises. "You must be Daniel. I'm Meg Slater," she said. Dan smiled and shook her hand. "Please, call me Dan. Good to meet you at last. I've heard a lot about you from Paul and Diana."
"Nice things, I hope. Here, chuck your bag in the back."
She got into the car and settled herself behind the wheel. Dan guessed, from the intentness of her gaze and the set of her body, that she hadn't been driving for long. With a grinding of gears, they set off.
"Sorry," said Meg. "I only passed my test 2 months ago."
She glanced at Dan. He was nice-looking. She liked fair-haired men.
"I can't tell you how glad I am to see a house guest under 50.
"Am I the first to arrive?"
"The first non-geriatric."
She made a face.
"It's been rather grim at dinner the past few nights. Gerald Cunliffe, you know, the poet? He and his wife arrived 3 days ago. They're nice enough old people, but not terrifically exciting."
"When do the Latimers arrive?" asked Dan.
"They should be here tomorrow. You and Paul were at school together, weren't you?"
"He was a few years ahead of me. Very much a hero of mine when I was in the lower fifth."
"I can imagine."
She gave him another glance.
"Isn't it funny we've never met? I've known Paul and Diana for the longest time. Di's bringing one of her friends along too, a girl called Eve Myerson."
"Really? I know her. She's a fellow journalist, works on the Daily Herald." Dan reflected that this might be a most interesting 10 days. He and Eve had already had more than a couple of flirtatious encounters in London.
"And then there's some fellow called Charles Asher, one of Aunt Sonia's protégés. I've never met him."
"So when did you come down?"
"3 weeks ago."